Hamlin. Take a seat. I'll be right with you.
Yes.
Bennett, take a seat. Wait, I want you here for this meeting.
Isn't this a party matter? It is the party chairmanship with.
It's also a government matter. It's about our education policy.
The government's or the parties?
It's the same thing.
In respect, Prime Minister, they're not the same thing.
That's why we want the meeting.
Well, it seems to be a party
Banner.
Matter.
Sit. Stay.
Now, what's the problem?
Education.
Now, what do you think I can do about it?
You're the Prime Minister.
Yes, I know. And I have no direct control over education as such. I mean, I don't control the curriculum, I don't control the exams, I don't control the choice of head teachers, nothing.
But the voters are holding you responsible for everything that's going wrong. You do have influence.
And I'm absolutely fed up with it. When I became Prime Minister, I thought I was going to have power. What have I got? I've got influence, that's all. I've got no power over the police, the rates, the EEC directives, the European courts, our courts, the judges, NATO. What have I got the power to do?
You have the power to lose us the next election. If you don't do something about education.
The voters want something done about low academic attainment. The non-competitive ethos. Sex education. I'm not against sex education.
Well, I'm not against children being taught the facts of life in the classroom, but not homosexual technique.
Or heterosexual technique, come to that.
Well, where should they learn it, then?
Behind the bike sheds, like we do.
Did you?
Never mind sexual technique. Some of our schools are teaching more Hindi than English.
Well, I know that English is more important than Hindi, but I don't say so in public. I'd be accused of racism.
Yes,
last week when I met the Ethnic Awareness Council, I happened to glance at my watch when a black woman delegate was speaking. I was immediately accused of racist body language.
And sexist body language.
Anyway, I get the message. What do you want me to do?
We want you to get a grip on education. Get Henry to do something about the Department of Education and Science.
He won't. They've got him completely housebroken.
Then sack him.
I can't have another cabinet convulsion. Not yet.
Then invite the leader of the opposition's wife round here.
Well, what can she do?
Start measuring up for carpets and curtains.
I mean, the Prime Minister wants to see me.
Yes, sir.
What's his problem?
Education.
Well, it's a bit late to do anything about that.
No, the education system.
I see. Well, it's a bit late to do anything about that, either.
Well, he thinks he's going to lose in the next election.
Well, worse things could befall the nation.
He can't ignore facts.
If he can't ignore facts, he's got no business being a politician. He's got nothing to worry about. The education system does all that most parents requires of it. Keeps the children out of mischief while they're at work.
Yes, but that paper the party chairman showed the Prime Minister suggests the whole of the comprehensive system is breaking down, doesn't it?
But I never thought to hear such language from a loyal member of the civil service. Have you been got at by the enemy?
You mean the Russians?
No, Bernard, I don't. I mean the Prime Minister's political advisor, that Wainwright female.
But comprehensive education was an experiment. Surely it ought to be validated.
Yes, of course, but not invalidated.
But if it was introduced to improve educational standards...
What ever gave you that idea?
You mean it was to get rid of class distinction?
Precisely.
So that all children...
Children? Who mentioned children?
Well, I just
the
thought...
Department of Education never mentions children. No, Bernard. It was to get rid of class distinction in the teaching profession. Improve the living standards of teachers, not the educational standards of children. Bring the NUT teachers in the primary and the secondary moderns up to the salary level of their rivals in the National Association of Schoolmasters and the grammar schools.
But the department...
Bernard, when there is a Labour government, the education department says that comprehensives abolish the class system. And when there's a Tory government, they say that it's the cheapest way of providing mass education. To Labour, we explain that selective education is divisive, and to the Tories, we explain that it is expensive. That way, we have a happy relationship with the NUT, and we educate our own children privately.
But if the government wants change...
The teaching unions don't.
But isn't it our job to persuade the unions to accept government policy?
No, Bernard. It is our job to get the government to accept union policy. And since government change policy all the time, and unions never change their policy at all, in practice, common sense requires that it is the government who must be brought in line with the unions.
Yes, Prime Minister. Oh, fine.
He can see you now. Sir Humphrey, he's very worried that he seems responsible for something he can't change.
Yes, I'm sure. Responsibility without power, the prerogative of the unit throughout the ages.
Morning, Humphrey. What was that you were saying?
Oh, nothing, Prime Minister. I understand that you're worried about the local education authority.
Sir Humphrey, I'm worried about the Department of Education and Science.
Indeed. In my opinion, the DES does a splendid job.
Be that as it may. Look what's happened to education in this country. This is a question from a religious studies paper. Which do you prefer, atom bombs or charity? Maths has become politicized. If it costs £5 billion a year to maintain Britain's nuclear defenses and £75 a year to feed a starving African child, how many African children could be saved from starvation if the Ministry of Defense abandoned nuclear weapons?
That's easy. None. They spend it all on conventional weapons. In any case, it's just a sum. 5 billion divided by 75.
But the children aren't learning how to do the sums.
No, indeed. But the local education authorities might argue that they don't need to. They all have pocket calculators.
But they all need to know how it's done. Look, we were all taught basic arithmetic, weren't we?
Were we? What's 3,947 divided by 73?
Oh, I'd need a pencil and paper to do that. No, never mind that. I could do it when I left school.
But now you'd use a calculator.
That's not the point. I mean, look at Latin. Hardly anybody knows that nowadays.
Temporae mutanta nos et mutamur in illis. Times change and we change with the times.
Not precisely.
Sine tacuis aes, philosophus mensis aes.
What does that mean?
If you'd kept your mouth shut, we might have thought you were clever.
What about you, Prime Minister? No, that's the translation.
No one would ever have thought Sir Humphrey was saying that about you.
Go away, Bernard.
I can't believe it, Humphrey. You had a conventional, strict academic upbringing. Are you denying the value of it?
Well, what's the use of it? I can't even call upon it in conversation with the Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Education in this country is a disaster. We're supposed to be preparing children for a working life. Three quarters of the time, they're bored stiff.
Well, I should have thought that being bored stiff for three quarters of the time was an excellent preparation for working life.
The school leaving age was raised to 16 so that they could learn more, and they're learning less.
We didn't raise it to enable them to learn more. We raised it to keep teenagers off the job market and hold down the unemployment figures.
Are you saying there's nothing wrong with education in this country?
No, of course not, Prime Minister. It's a joke. It's always been a joke. And as long as you leave it in the hands of the local councillors, it will remain a joke. I mean, half of them are your enemies anyway, and the other half are the sort of friends who make you prefer your enemies.
But what are you saying?
I'm saying that education will never get any better as long as it's subject to all that tomfoolery in the town halls. I mean, just imagine what would happen if you put defence in the hands of the local authorities.
Defence?
Yes, give the local councils 100 million each and ask them to defend themselves. We wouldn't have to worry about the Russians. We'd have a civil war in 3 weeks.
Don't be silly.
Am I, Prime Minister? Well, that's what happened to education. And why? Because nobody thinks that education is serious the way defence is serious.
You mean that's why civil defence is left in the hands of local authorities?
Of course, because everybody knows it's a joke. You just don't leave important matters in the hands of those clowns. And as you've left education to them, one must assume that until now you have attached little importance to it.
I think it's extremely important. It could lose me in the next election.
Ah! In my naivete, I thought you were concerned about the future of our children.
Yes, that too. So we get the vote at 18.
Well, then, Prime Minister, then centralise. Take it away from the local councils. Put it under the Department of Education and Science. Then you could actually do something about it.
Do you think I could? Grasp the nettle? Take the bull by the horns?
Prime Minister, you can't take the bull by the horns if you're grasping the nettle.
Oh, really, Bernard?
All I meant was, if you grasp the nettle with one hand, you could take the bull by one horn with the other hand, but not both horns, because your hand isn't big enough. And if you did take the bull by one horn, it would be rather dangerous, because... Well, it was just a mixed metaphor. Since we were discussing education, I... thank God. Yes.
Oh, it's your political advisor's outside.
Send to him, would you, Prime Minister? Humphrey, thank you.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
You've given me much food for thought.
In that case, Prime Minister, bon appetit.
Dear lady. Yes, Dorothy.
My notes on the programme for your tour of the Northwest.
Prime Ministerial visits to hospitals and fractures, Prime Minister.
I have drumming up votes in the marginal constituency.
No, Prime Minister.
Why not?
Well, I'm coming with you if it's a government tour, but if it's canvassing marginals, it's a party event and I can't come and the Treasury can't pay.
It's a government visit, Bernard. It's pure coincidence that all the stuff offs are in marginals.
Oh. Well, that's all right then. Okay.
Dorothy, what can I do about education? Quickly.
You mean do or appear to do?
Oh, appear to do. I can't do, obviously.
Well, in the short term, we could get you on television associated with something good and successful in education.
Good, is there something?
Well, I had thought of this for your schedule. You could fit it in.
St. Margaret's School Young Enterprise Scheme.
Yes, the school has set up its own manufacturing and trading company. They make cheese boards, paperweights, toast racks and so on. Market and sell them and track the operation in their maths and business study classes. They involve local businessmen. Parents help too.
Sounds great. Does it cost a lot?
No, on the contrary, it makes a profit.
Would that be teaching them to be rather grasping?
No, they give the money to local charity.
Fine, I'll do it. And make sure the television crews have plenty of time to cover me. Cover the event properly. Write me a speech with a snappy 20-second piece for the news bulletins. That should win back a few seats.
Prime Minister?
Give a lead to those responsible for the nation's education.
Of course.
And finally, this morning, the Prime Minister visited St. Margaret's School Widnes on his northwestern tour. The school has set up its own little manufacturing business, where the children make a variety of goods in the school carpentry shop for sale in the local community. The children do their own sales and marketing, and use the experience they gain from the enterprise as a basis for their maths and business studies. The Prime Minister was presented with an example of the school's output.
And in conclusion, I must congratulate you on all the hard work, the discipline, and the success of your enterprise. You've set an example in British education which other schools would do well to follow. We need more schools like St. Margaret's, and I shall always treasure your presence. No Prime Minister ever lost a seat if he could help it.
That was the 6 o'clock news from the BBC.
I thought that was okay, didn't you?
It was fine.
My joke went down well.
My joke?
Better than Channel 4 coverage, anyway. They didn't describe it as the Prime Minister's tour of the Northwest. They said Jim Hacker touring the marginal constituencies.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, but they shouldn't have said it like that. That's biased reporting.
Reporting the facts.
Anyway, there's nothing wrong with visiting the marginals.
But what they said was still true.
But it was still biased to say it.
Oh, darling, I'm not interested in your paranoia. I was interested in that school.
Yes, parents queuing up to get their children into it.
What a pity they can't all get in. More coffee.
Oh, yes.
Why can't more parents send their children there?
No room.
There is room, actually. School numbers are falling.
Yeah, but that'd mean poaching in the other schools.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, the other schools wouldn't have enough pupils. They'd have to close.
Great, so St. Margaret's could take over their buildings.
No, you couldn't do that. It wouldn't be fair.
Who to?
The teachers in the schools that have to close.
But the good teachers would be taken on by the popular schools. They'd be needed.
What about the bad teachers? It wouldn't be fair on them.
What about being fair on the children? Or are the bad teachers' jobs more important?
I mean, it's no good. No, who's to say who are the bad teachers? It just wouldn't work.
Why not?
Well, it wouldn't work.
Why not?
What do you mean?
Well, suppose schools were like doctors. I mean, after all, under the National Health Service, you can choose whichever doctor you like to go to, can't you?
Yes.
And he gets paid per patient. Well, why don't we do the same with schools? Have a national education service. The parents could choose the schools they want, and the schools get paid per pupil.
Exactly.
There'd be an outcry.
From the parents?
Well, no, not from the parents. From the Department of Education.
Oh, I see. And who has the most votes?
No, the DES would block it.
Fine, get rid of them. Get rid of the Department of Education.
I don't understand you.
Get rid of it. Abolish it. Remove it. Expunge it. Eliminate it. Eradicate it. Exterminate it. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it? I couldn't do that.
Why not? What does it do?
I could do that. Local government could administer the lot. We could have a national board of school inspectors, and the rest could go to environment. And I could send that house-trained idiot Henry to the House of Lords. Sorry. I wonder what Humphrey will say.
Whenever he says, I want to be there when you tell him.
To witness the clash between the political will and the administrative will?
I think it'll be a clash between the political will and the administrative won't.
Humphrey, come in. Sit down. I just want to bounce an idea off you. Mm-hmm. I realized how to reform the educational system.
Excellent, Prime Minister.
I'm going to let parents take their children away from school and move them to any school they want.
Oh, you mean after application, scrutiny, tribunal hearing and appeals procedures?
No, just move them whenever they want to.
I'm sorry, I don't quite follow.
This government is going to let parents decide which schools to send their children to.
Prime Minister, you can't be serious. But it's preposterous.
Why?
Well, you can't expect parents to make these choices. I mean, how on earth would parents know which schools are best?
Which school did you go to, Humphrey?
Winchester.
Is it good?
Oh, excellent, of course.
Who chose it?
My parents, naturally. Now, that's different, Prime Minister. My parents were discerning people. You can't expect ordinary people to know where to send their children.
Why not?
Well, how could they tell?
Well, they could tell if their kids could read, write, and do sums. They could tell if their neighbours were happy with the school, and they could tell if the exam results were good.
Exam results aren't everything, Prime Minister.
That's true. And those parents who don't want an academic education for their children can choose progressive schools.
But parents have no qualifications to make these choices. And teachers are the professionals. Parents are the worst people to bring up children. They have no qualifications, no training. You don't expect untrained teachers to teach. The same should apply to parents.
You mean, before people have children, they should be trained?
No, that's no problem. They've all been trained to have kids. Sex education classes have been standard for some years now.
I see. Well, perhaps we could do better. Before people are allowed to have children, we should make them sit exams, written and practical. Perhaps both. And then they could be issued with breeding licenses.
Oh, very droll, Prime Minister. No, but I'm being serious. It's looking after children that parents are not qualified for. That's why they have no idea which schools to choose. It couldn't work.
Then how does the health service work? People choose their family doctor without having medical qualifications.
Ah, yes. Well, that's different.
How?
Well, doctors are... The patients aren't parents, dear lady.
Oh, really? What makes you think that, Humpy?
Not as such, in any case, as a matter of fact, I think letting people choose doctors is a very bad idea. Very messy. Much tighter to allocate people to GPs. Much fairer. Then we can even up the numbers and everyone has an equal chance of getting the bad doctors.
See?
In any case, we're not talking about health, we're talking about education. And with respect, Prime Minister, I think that the DES will react with some caution to your rather novel proposal.
You mean they'll block it?
I mean they will give it the most serious and urgent consideration and insist on a thorough and rigorous examination of all the proposals allied to a detailed feasibility study and budget analysis before producing a consultative document for consideration by all interested bodies and seeking comments and recommendations to be included in a brief for a series of working parties who will produce individual studies which will provide the background for a more wide-ranging document considering whether or not the proposal should be taken forward to the next stage.
You mean they'll block it?
Yep.
No problem.
We thought you'd say that.
We have a solution.
Oh, yes?
We'll abolish the DES.
We'll abolish it. Abolish it?
Why not?
Abolish education and science? That would be the end of civilization as we know it.
We're only starting to build a department. Education and science will flourish.
Without a government department, impossible.
Humphrey, government departments are tombstones. The Department of Industry marks the grave of industry. The Department of Employment marks the grave of employment. The Department of Environment marks the grave of the environment. And the Department of Education marks where the corpse of British education is buried.
What does the DES do? What's it for? What's its role? I hardly know where to begin, Prime Minister. It lays down guidelines, it centralises and channels money into the local education authorities and the university grants committee. It sets standards.
Does it lay down the curriculum?
No, but it would like to.
Does it select and change head teachers?
No.
Does it maintain school buildings?
No.
Does it set and mark exams?
No.
Does it choose the children?
No, but...
Well, how does the Secretary of State affect what my child does at school?
He supplies 60% of the cash.
Well, why can't the cash go straight from the Treasury to the schools or the University Grants Committee? I mean, do we really need 2,000 civil servants to funnel money from A to B?
The DES also creates a legislative framework for education.
There's not much legislation, surely. The environment could do that. They deal with other local authority matters.
Prime Minister, you can't be serious. Who would assess forward planning and staffing variations, variations in pupil population, density of schooling required in urban and rural areas? Who would make sure that everything ran properly?
2,500 private schools seem to solve these planning problems every day of the week, Humphrey, without any help from the DES. They simply respond to changing circumstances, supply and demand. It's easy.
Who would plan for the future?
Are you saying that education in Britain today is what the department planned?
Well, not... No, of course not.
Is there anything else that the DES does?
Well,
we don't need it then, do we? DED. Quod erat demonstrandum.
Once they start abolishing whole departments, the very foundations of civilization crumble.
Barbarians at the gates.
The return of the Dark Ages.
Did anything like this crop up when you were Cabinet Secretary, Alan?
No. We let them amalgamate departments, but that worked very well.
Yes, quite. You keep the existing staff and you put in an extra layer of coordinating management at the top.
Exactly. But you have to stop the liquidation of the Department of Education, Humphrey. Have you tried discrediting the person who proposed it?
Well, there's no point. It was the Wainwright female. So he's passing it off as his own idea.
Discrediting the facts behind it?
Well, it's a political idea, so obviously facts don't come into it.
Massaging the figures?
No figures are involved. But it's hard to get the Prime Minister to see that it's a bad idea.
Yes, of course. It's actually a very good idea. It just mustn't happen.
I wonder whether we oughtn't to play along with it in the interests of the nation's children.
Never mind the nation's children. What about our colleagues at the Department of Education?
Yes, of course. Sorry.
Humphrey, let's be clear about this. The only people who will like this idea are the parents and the children. Everyone who counts will be against it.
Teachers' unions.
The local authorities. The
educational press.
And, of course, the DES. So, what's the strategy?
Well, the unions can be counted on to disrupt the schools.
And to go on television saying it's the government who are causing the disruption.
Good, yes. And the local councils will threaten to turn the constituency parties against the government.
Fine. The Department of Education will delay every stage of the process and leak anything that embarrasses the government. We can help you with that at the Campaign for Freedom of Information.
Oh, thank you, Alan.
Thanks.
So what are we actually going to do? Thank you, Billy. What's our argument?
Well, obviously, that this new proposal will destroy our educational system.
Well, everybody knows it's destroyed already.
Well, we will say... Sorry, the press will say that it's government interference in the Department of Education that destroyed it, and that this new plan will make things even worse.
Will that do the trick?
It always has in the past.
Yes, but this time the political pressure is stronger.
Then you must find a political weapon to fight it with.
What political weapon did you have in mind, Arnold?
That is your concern, Humphrey. Your chance to prove yourself worthy of the high office to which you've been called.
Oh,
Mr. Humphrey, the Prime Minister's ready to see you.
What's it about?
The abolition of the DES, I'm afraid, Sir Humphrey.
This is going to be bloody.
Yes, just before you go in, there's one other minor matter I need your advice about.
Bernard?
Well, it's not important, but it's urgent.
Come along, what is it?
Well, you know that Enterprise School the Prime Minister visited in Witness?
Yes, yes.
When they gave him that stool?
The stool, yes.
Well, it's just come to light that the wood they were using in the carpentry shop was stolen.
Bernard, this is hard.
Stolen? Yes, it was government property stolen from a YTS workshop from pupils that were working there last year.
How shocking.
Well, it's been referred to the DES from employment because the theft came to light at a school. They don't know whether to prosecute. I'm sorry to bother you with this.
Don't mention it. Show me in.
No, come in, Humphrey. Come in, come in.
Sit down. Only one item on the agenda today, the abolition of the DES.
Actually, if there's only one item, it's an agendum.
I don't think the Prime Minister's got as far as the second declension.
You're scoring cheap debating points, since you've already lost the battle of the DES.
The DES will be very upset, Prime Minister.
What does it matter, since they've ceased to exist?
Well, the process will take a year or two. They will fight tooth and nail.
So what? What can they do to me?
They're a formidable department.
I am a formidable Prime Minister.
Indeed you are, Prime Minister, but you might still need their cooperation.
Cooperation? From the Department of Education? Don't make me laugh.
Fine, fine. I'll tell them to go ahead with the prosecution, then.
Prosecution? What prosecution?
Oh, it's hardly worth bothering you with, Prime Minister. But that Enterprise School where you were televised last week...
Yes?
Yes, well, the profits, it seemed. A model for other schools to follow.
Yes.
The profits were apparently the proceeds of theft.
What do you mean, theft?
I mean removing goods without the knowledge or consent of the owner with the intent of permanently depriving him of
possession. Yes, I know what theft means.
What do you mean? Well, the stool that they gave you was made from wood appropriated from the local YTS workshop.
What do you mean?
It was nicked by two of last year's pupils.
A pair of knickers.
Well, the YTS want to prosecute. Now, the Department of Education could stop them, you know, return the wood and hush it up.
Humphrey, millions of people saw me on television saying that that school was an example to Britain.
Well, it is a sort of example.
Humphrey, they mustn't prosecute.
Well, I do hope that the Department of Education won't leak the fact that you're covering up for crooks.
You must tell them not to prosecute.
Well, that would need their cooperation. I can just see the newspapers. Jim's Enterprising Crooks. The Prime Minister has sat on the fence for so long that now he's become one.
You must persuade them not to prosecute.
Well, it's very difficult to persuade people to cooperate if they're actually under a death sentence.
Death sentence?
If you're thinking of abolishing the department.
Oh, that. Yeah, just a vague idea of Dorothy's. An idle thought. Nothing serious.
You're sure?
Oh, positive.
Splendid, Prime Minister. Shall we now continue with the agendum?
Agendum? Oh, yes. We have no agenda.
We have no agendum to date.
Business concluded. All right, Humphrey?
Yes, Prime Minister.